Before we get rolling today, I do want to recognize we had some first responders here today. We had the APD and a number of the fire department, and a number of those, especially from the fire department, involved on the incident on I-85. So we're glad to have those men and women here today. What jumped out to me at practice today was really the speed again. We put them in a lot of situations. We finished the end of it with a third down. And then we went right into a 2-minute at the end of the half. So we really wanted to see, could you guys hit the gas? And sometimes they all gas, no brakes. Sometimes that's what we need at practice to go. So I was pleased with that. As we get into the next block, tomorrow we go into the padded portion of our practice. And that is new opportunities, especially along the line of scrimmage. That part of our game we're going to work like crazy on. So that'll be what's ahead for tomorrow. More install tonight for this 4-day block, and we're going for it all we can. Then we'll take that break, reassess, and come back and go. So it's almost like a game week. Put all into those 4 days into your prep, take your break, and then we come back and do it again. So I'm glad to open it up.
Coach, yesterday Desmond Trufant said this is the fastest and deepest team he's ever played.
You're not getting me on that comparison on that one. But what I do recognize for this team, I'd say I recognize their camaraderie, connection that they have for one another. It's a rare thing when you can really push the other guy and even to a spot where he doesn't want to go. And when you've seen someone in this game, we get it where you're at your bloodied and hurt to where you're most triumphant. So you know the ins and outs, and you've been with the guys for a couple years. So I'm not surprised this connection that they have is so strong. We're always going to keep pushing the speed, and he's one of them that sets the tone at that spot.
Hey, Coach, Fuller left today. You have an update on him?
I don't have one, so I know it was a knee, but I don't know what. So I'll have an update for you on Fuller tomorrow, but I don't know what. So Marty said they were going to go in, and the docs were going to be here today to evaluate him, but I don't know the severity of it yet.
Dan, there were a couple times today where you called the team together on the field.
Yeah, I'll be glad. The question was, what did we call him up to talk about? In the competition periods, I'll say, this is what's at hand, so I can really be specific. If you get two first downs, this group wins, this group doesn't. I also did it on the third downs. Could that communication be right? And then at the end, I did some 2-minute at the end of the half. And then went back at the end, okay, what did we learn from that? Sometimes, Jeff, those coaching moments are the best right away. And I don't want to wait all the way until it goes inside to the film room. The retention oftentimes, right when that happened, we can do it. And I made a mistake today, too, in a 2-minute of calling one in the wrong time on a timeout. So I wanted to acknowledge that to them, that this is me training, too. And there was a good session today in that one. We probably spent about 50% of our time today in some type of situation. And that's really where the game is. Almost 50-55% is the first and second down. No red zone, no short yards, no goal line. And then the others are all the third downs, the 2 minutes, the short yards, the goal line. So how do we balance those? And today was a big situation.
So it wasn't about you being upset with left for left behind?
No, those ones I generally don't hit the emergency brake about being upset. The only things that get me jammed up is the effort or lack of concentration, and I'll do that. If I don't see those things, I'd rather take a guy out and say, you're not up for the job right now. And then that usually stinks because this time of year is about the evaluation. But it wasn't about that. It was more how could I get a quick 1-minute teach time. And then another one was just like in a game, we took a TV timeout just to extra hydrate with the heat.
Dan, we heard from Devonta here a minute ago. He's got his situation with the contract.
I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. We've heard a million times it's a business. We hear here it's a brotherhood. How do you balance that?
It can be a tricky thing because we are so connected, and we do have this, you know, this strong and this bond that we have. So we all recognize that there is that side to it. So fortunately, most of us have somebody to help us with those guidelines with the team and finances as that goes. So that helps. I'm not going to say that doesn't alleviate stress in your mind about things that could happen, but he's a pretty strong guy. He knows this is a process that goes through, and oftentimes it's not going to the ATM and saying, okay, here's your situation. So it's not always easy to understand that. And oftentimes take some reminding. So that's when a brotherhood is good, when somebody who's been through it can say, hey, man, just stay the course. And he's got great mentors who've been through that road on this team where it doesn't always happen right when you want it to.
Have you had to have a talk with him about it just to say, hey, you know what?
I haven't had to, but I definitely did.
What'd you say?
I didn't have to, but I definitely did.
And?
Because the reason I'm saying that one, he's not somebody that got sideways in any way, so it wasn't like I had to. But for most of the guys who are in that contract time to have discussions with, I definitely talk through. And I want to have open lines of communication with them. If there's something that's jamming them up or something that I can assist with, that's my responsibility too. Because their connection with the team and the staff and the coaches, that's an important one. So I want to make sure we're always keeping our lines clear.
Hey, Coach, so with the local Georgia guys, Quincy Moshe and Reggie Davis, what is your evaluation of them?
Yeah, in typical fashion, those are two that you called out, two that are off to a good start. It's Reggie's speed today, and his opportunity is now here. He can really go. So he had a nice catch on a deep ball today. When guys prove they can have a bigger role, we give them reps up. So I don't know if you noticed who the quarterback was that threw him that shot today. So that'll give you a clue. He's off to a good start and doing things. We got a long way to go. And part of his game is finding all the versatility and things he can do. But he has our attention. And on the other side with Moshe, we've been impressed by his intelligence, his availability to communicate, and his athleticism. So everyone's evaluations get ramped up over the next few weeks when we get into the preseason games and how do we respond under the stress. So often of what we do for the guys is don't tell them this, but we're trying to stress them out and see what situations we can put them in to see how they'll respond. So we try to make these game-like scenarios and have it perform. It's why we have the crowd noise. It's why we have, it was awesome having the fans yell today. So those two guys, good start.
Hey, and I know it's early, but a couple reps here and there for Duke Riley next to Deion. What do you see there? How do you see they work together, in unison? Of course, they're familiar with each other. And just Duke after 2 days.
I'm not surprised they have a good connection, but this linebacker room in general does. There'll be times where you'll see Reynolds, Jones, you'll see Reynolds, Riley, you'll see Campbell, Riley. We're going to mix and match these inside guys. Ishmael's another one. He's such a good tackler. We want to get him involved with it. So we got a long way to go, and nothing will be earned in short time. So we'd like to go all the way through the process, and then we'll take it from there. But he's off to a good start.
Dan, one question about Julio.
Yes. It takes time to build that relationship so you can communicate. He is an athlete that is in tune with his body, and I think probably because he's endured some of the injuries, so he's been back from a rehab. He knows what he can play with and when it's not. So when he can't go, I had to make the decision one time for him to say, I know now after a couple years with you what it can, but his heart is in the right spot to do it. So generally, he'll want to go, and he has a high pain tolerance. So sometimes we have to be the ones to say, okay, what number are we at?
But the fact that he was able to put up that performance and make that last catch.
Yeah, because you don't want to think about it while you're performing the movement. And his pain threshold as a competitor is damn high.
Coach, you saw one of the players
about
to leave, retire yesterday.
One more time.
You saw a player in Baltimore retire because of CTE study. Have any guys expressed any concerns? I know you all try to take care of the head and so forth.
Yes, we've had none of those conversations here regarding a player. On the first day, we do a good bit on the reporting and the information on that. But we're going to try and teach it safe. And I'm hopeful that the way that we bring this issues aware and out, that it goes to college and it goes to high school and it goes to Pop Warner. And I think that's happening. I think there was a time maybe within the last 5 or 6 years where it took a hit at the youth level. I think we're making a good comeback knowing that we're teaching things safely. And you as a coach can appreciate that, knowing all this game can mean to so many boys and girls who are playing. So I'm glad that the word's out that we're teaching it safely. Yes, I do feel that the players are receptive to that message, because That's their responsibility to take care of one another. How hard we can compete and go for it, but to take care of one another, that's in the front of our thinking. Speed, and he's got very good change of direction, and I'm sure that's why the punt returning has been so good. As a kickoff returner, you have to have speed, the long speed, to make one cut and go. As a punt returner, it's a different job where you catch, but you have to have lateral quickness for a guy who's coming full speed to dodge him and then get upfield. So it's these short lateral bursts and then go. Where a kickoff return, you have to have the long speed. He's unique because he can do both. Oftentimes you see, well, why is one guy just a punt returner and why is one a kick returner? And then when you have the guys like a Devin Hester who excelled at both, those are the rare guys.
As you get deeper into this thing, will Taylor Gabriel be in that mix?
As a punt returner, he will.
Okay, because I saw him out there today.
Yep. Yep, that's one of the jobs we can look at, and it creates more touches. And so if that's an opt to get more touches for him, it's something we definitely want to look at.
One more question, guys.
How do you feel the offense is connecting with Sark?
We went through a good portion of the spring. What I'm hopeful for over the next month is their connection, the new players, how do we add them in? Sark's, he's an easy guy to communicate with, and he's done a good job with our staff, with the team, of getting to know them. As a first-year coordinator, and I know I went through that as well, how do you build these relationships with the players? How do you feature them? He's excellent at that, and that's what we'll continue to build, and that'll just keep getting stronger as we go.
All right, thank you, guys.
You guys have a great afternoon.
Thank you.